The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
We welcome you to our Good Friday episode of Grace in Focus from the Grace Evangelical Society. What is good about Good Friday? It seems like there was a lot of suffering on that day. As Jesus paid the atonement for all sins, he certainly suffered for us, but you know, we are also called to suffer for him. Steve Elkins and Bob Wilkin will be talking about this topic in just a moment, right after I tell you about our website, faithalone.org, a great website for free grace resources. We would love for you to go there and see some of the things that are available, just hundreds of articles about questions you may have, books and blogs and videos, and our full-color magazine, Grace in Focus. You can get information about these as well as our National Conference 2023 coming up May the 22nd through the 25th. We would love for you to join us at Camp Copus in Denton, Texas, right near our headquarters, for about 3 days of great fellowship, recreation, and learning, all associated with Free Grace Theology. Find out all about it, get registered, and plan to join us May 22nd through the 25th. Faithalone.org. Faithalone.org. Now here is today's discussion. Gentlemen.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. What you got for us today, Steve?
Well, I'd like us to look at a passage in Hebrews chapter 13 that piggybacks on what we talked about last time. You know, people like William Kelly or Zane Hodges, who were dedicated oftentimes to poor people, minorities,
and small congregations.
Small congregations, exactly. Maybe eschewed a little bit the world's prestige. Let's look at this passage, Hebrews 13, 12 and 13. It says, "Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach." What do you think that means, Bob?
It seems, of course, that when the author of Hebrews uses the word sanctify in verse 12, he uses it much like Paul would use the word justify.
Yeah.
So it's looking at past sanctification, to set people apart into God's kingdom, family, etc. And that is only available through the blood of Christ. Apart from the blood of Christ, John 3:16 wouldn't be true.
Right. And he's using it in a positional sense, as you said, like in Hebrews 10, 10, and 14.
Right.
This is one of the main ways we know the Hebrews writer certainly believed in eternal security, where it says, "By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." It's already done.
Right.
Like justification, as you said. And then verse 14 says, "For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are sanctified." How do we get sanctified? Through the death and the offering of the body of Christ once and for all. We're already sanctified.
That's good. Yeah. Now, the ending of verse 12 is that Jesus sanctified the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Now, outside the gate refers to the gate of Jerusalem, right?
Right.
In other words, he was outside the normal interaction of the people of Jerusalem. And when he went outside, he suffered. Verse 12 ends with Jesus suffering outside the gate. And 13 picks up on that. But the point with Jesus suffering is that his providing this sanctification for us came at great cost.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did he shed his blood, but he didn't get to do this on the Temple Mount.
No.
It wasn't like everybody was clapping and going, "Thank you for dying for us," right?
Right.
They're ridiculing him. They're saying, "He who saved others, let him save himself."
Right.
Let him come down. How about God sending a whole bunch of angels to pull him off the cross? They were mocking him.
He sneered at, he's mocked. And, you know, Bob, it reminds me, in the free grace movement, I think we're sneered at and mocked by many in the evangelical community or Christian community
at large.
That's
right. And by the way, he suffered outside the gate of Jerusalem so that not only is he being mocked and ridiculed, that would be bad enough if it was in the city, but he's doing this out in a disreputable place.
Yes. And the next verse says, "Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp."
Wait a minute. We're supposed to go to the place of ridicule and rejection and shame?
Exactly. I think that's what it's saying. Outside the camp, and we might think here of the consensus outside of the community, if you will, of Christendom or evangelicalism, if necessary. If the free grace message, John 3:16 is the gospel, it really is that simple. Believe means believe. Eternal life is eternal. We get it that simply. And the idea of eternal rewards and the other things that go with free grace theology, there are people who are going to ridicule us to the nth degree for holding to these things or holding that the Bible is inerrant, etc.
And it says at the end of verse 13, bearing his reproach.
Right.
In other words, we're to share in this suffering. And by the way, this isn't just the author of Hebrews. Paul in Romans 8, there's a whole big deal about if we share in his suffering now, then we're going to be glorified with him then.
And the sufferings now are not worthy to be compared to that glory. And you say it's not just the Hebrews writer, but it is all of what the Hebrews writer is talking about.
Yes.
This is the theme from the beginning to the end of the book. The idea that our trailblazing captain, back to 2:10, is leading many sons to share in his glorious reign, and he's leading them, you and me, Lord willing, through sufferings, because that's what prepares us to be one of these kingdom rulers.
Okay, now let me make another connection, see what you think of this. When Jesus was reproached, mocked, persecuted at the cross, this wasn't Gentiles doing that. This was Jewish people doing that. Wow. Now, to some extent, there were some Gentiles.
Sure.
They put the crowns of thorns on his head.
Yeah.
They obviously scourged him. They mocked him, too. But at the cross, it was primarily religious people in the Jewish faith.
Right.
And so I wonder, wouldn't it be possible, hypothetically, that Israel would have been a believing nation, and hypothetically, the Romans would have put him to death, and the Jews would have been praising him? That's possible, but that's not what happened.
Right.
Hypothetically today, isn't it possible that 100% of people within Christianity would be what we call free grace?
It's possible.
So that the people who would be mocking us and reproaching us would be all of the unbelieving world. But the truth of the matter is, a high percentage of the people within Christianity reject the John 3:16 message.
Yeah.
They think they believe it, but they don't believe it because they come up with ways of redefining faith,
exactly,
redefining everlasting life, redefining what will never perish means. And as a result, we do receive some mocking from people within evangelicalism.
Sad but true. You know, Jesus came to his own, but his own did not receive him.
That's Israel.
Yeah.
And within Christianity, we have people saying that we teach something called cheap grace.
Easy believism.
Easy believism. Sometimes they will say, I remember I did this book called Four Views on the Role of Works in the Final Judgment. James Dunn, who's a leading Anglican New Testament scholar, he said I had a canon within a canon because I was appealing to John's gospel as being the primary place to go for the message of life. And also, I remember Tom Schreiner in that same book, he said that I had a position where basically nothing could stop me because I held this view that John 3:16 established it, nothing could contradict it, or John 5:24 established it, nothing could contradict it. And so they said, he's not really open to correction. And what I thought was that point applied to the other three authors because they were unwilling to say, maybe we've gotten it wrong. Maybe John 5:24 is definitive. Maybe John 3:16 is definitive. Maybe we're the ones that are unwilling to be corrected. I wonder if they would be willing to be corrected about the existence of God. Because an atheist would say, but you don't seem open to the possibility of atheism. Or I wonder if they'd be willing to be corrected about the deity of Christ.
Exactly. Speaking of going outside the camp or suffering outside the gate, one way that we can see this, often the free grace scholars are ridiculed because they are not published by leading publishing houses.
Tell me about it.
And then some of the leading publishing houses that I've been reading recently and the leading famous evangelical authors would call our position, quote unquote, ignorant, idolatrous, building the certainty of faith on a house of cards. We believe in the certainty of faith. They don't. They believe so often that faith involves doubt, even.
I can give you a personal example. I graduated from Dallas same time you did, 82, and then I got my doctorate in 85. I went around to all the department heads trying to get a teaching position at Dallas Seminary. There were no opportunities for me. part of the reason there were no opportunities, my theology was incompatible with the rest of the New Testament department, except for Zane Hodges. And they didn't want another Zane Hodges. When I left there, I was hired by Dallas Bible College, moved out to East Texas. I taught there. The school folded after one semester, and I got on at Multnomah School of the Bible, which was a miracle because it's a great Bible college. It was one of the top two then, Moody and Multnomah. I taught there, and Sharon couldn't take the climate in Portland, so I resigned after a year, and I've been the head of GES ever since, which is a blessing. But there was one year where I went to Dallas Seminary, and I said, I don't know, it was about 15 years ago, 20 years ago maybe, and I said, I'd be willing to teach adjunct. I'd love to teach electives in the New Testament department, because I thought maybe Dallas would allow a free grace influence. No. And I realized there are really very, very few opportunities for a free grace person with a doctorate to teach anywhere unless they have a doctorate from, let's say, Oxford, Cambridge, right. Edinburgh, Sheffield. If they've got a doctorate from a fancy school, there's a good opportunity. But guess what? Then they're no longer free grace.
And that's the truth. How many people have we known and known of who've gone to one of these elite schools and lost their faith entirely?
Or a lot of the guys wouldn't say they've lost their faith entirely, but what they've become is some sort of a soft lordship salvation guy with a very weak view of inerrancy, right. which I would say is not inerrancy. And we're outside the camp of scholarship. In fact, I remember Zane Hodges saying in class one day when we came to James 4:4, friendship with the world is enemy with God.
Right.
Man, if you want to be a recognized scholar in the evangelical world, you won't be a friend of God.
Amen.
You need to pick.
What a point to end on. And Bob, if I could pat you on the back, I'm so glad that it's worked out like this for you, because I think you've been able, with the Lord's strength and blessing, to reach so many more thousands of people than you would have been otherwise.
I think that's right. Well, thank you all for joining us, and keep grace in focus.
Zane Hodges' commentary on James, entitled The Epistle of James, Proven Character Through Testing, is available at discount to Grace in Focus listeners right now at faithalone.org. Get half price through April the 30th, 2023, when you use the discount code word James. That's faithalone.org. Our goal at the Grace Evangelical Society is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are some of the happiest people in the world. If you would like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. Learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here is our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode of Grace in Focus, from John 3, verse 5, have you ever wondered what Jesus meant when he said, born of water? Join us and find out next time. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.